Hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Cover the Weekend podcast. I'm Tommy Lorenzo, back again here on the precipice or eve of the National Football Championship for college football, that is, coming up on Monday. And we'll work backwards here as we cover the weekend. I think I'm going to start off with that Monday contest and then work our way back with some NFL and college hoops. Great games last week. Both enjoyable games, competitive games, with Alabama going down to Michigan in the Rose Bowl, and also Washington taking care of business and getting the job done against Texas and balancing Steve Sarkisian, as I anticipated. If you listen to last week's podcast, many of you know I was on the Huskies, which was a winner, but I was also on Alabama, which was a loser last weekend. And before I go into the Michigan-Washington game, as far as Alabama goes, are they a good team? What do you think? Top five team? Top 10? Maybe it's easier to decipher that after that performance at the Rose Bowl. Was a performance that good? I mean, they took Michigan to overtime. And again, I question, are they a good team? Did Michigan beat an elite-level team last week? Maybe. The Wolverines had to go into OT to beat the Crimson Tide, a team that basically had a QB in Jalen Milroe fade away and disappear in the fourth quarter, and especially in OT. Now, I put the blame on their offensive line. I put some of the blame on Jalen Milroe. He had some comments earlier in the week that showed that maybe he wasn't as focused as he should have been. The Alabama coaching staff, I mean, the Crimson Tide couldn't even get shotgun snaps away cleanly. Their O-line was continuously compromised by Michigan. And what a difference it was watching Michael Penix Jr. Compared to Alabama's quarterback, Milroe. Watching Michael Penix do the job he did against Texas, especially if you had Bama. It was helpful to get the money back on the second game of the evening if you had Bama and then had Washington in the Sugar Bowl. But it was nice to see Michael Penix quarterback the way he did, and the offense, the Husky offense, function the way it did. So speaking of Michael Penix, too, if he's in the SEC, I think he wins the Heisman. Which leads me to repeat what I did last week. Washington is underrated and still undervalued, in my opinion. They're not getting respect. No respect for this Huskies team. As they continue to win and win as underdogs, they've beaten top 10 Oregon twice and now number 3 Texas in what basically was a road game in the Sugar Bowl last Saturday night. When this line came out at Huskies plus 4, I was waiting to see if Huskies running back Dylan Johnson was going to be a go before I made any plays on this. It appears that he will be in the starting lineup despite his foot injury. He's a big part of this offense, and his foot injury is an injury he's been dealing with since the Oregon State game. I read that he was heavily medicated, according to him, for the Sugar Bowl game. His foot was, anyway, versus Texas. And he'll be back in there versus Michigan, which is important because I think that'll allow the Huskies' passing game to continue to flow when you have a running back like that. I think it's going to be a good thing for Washington, obviously, because without him, I think it would hurt. But it appears that he's going. So Michael Penix Jr. is locked in, and he is the best QB that Michigan has seen all year, in my opinion, and definitely better than Milroe. Again, I don't put all the blame on Milroe, who's the Alabama quarterback, but he can take part of the blame, his offensive line, his long snapper, the coaching. Anyway, I'll get off of Bama, as you can tell I'm a little sore about how they blew that game. But anyway, Michigan did a very good job against the Crimson Tide, and the Wolverines pulled every rabbit out of the hat play-wise to beat Alabama. I went back a little bit and actually talked to a very good friend of mine who is a hardcore Wolverines guy, watches every game from beginning to end all season, and he concurred with me that, you know, Michigan pulled out a lot of new plays, a lot of new looks, both on offense and defense. So maybe they won't catch the Huskies that off guard in that sense. The Huskies' defense, as everyone knows, is not that strong, certainly not as good as Michigan's. But the Huskies are a completely different animal than what Alabama brought to the table, offensively at least. And no doubt about it that Washington is peaking right now. The line at the moment is Washington plus 4.5. There is a 5 out there at win or win bet. So whatever you can take, if you're going to take the Huskies, 4.5 or 5, I think that's the play for the national championship. I'll be on the Huskies. I'll also sprinkle a little bit on the money line. It's the Huskies for me on Monday in the national championship game. All right, going now to NFL, where we have Saturday and Sunday action. Final week of the NFL, and I'm going to touch on a couple of games. First, the Steelers. 3.5-point favorites on the road at Baltimore. This is one of two Saturday games. This contest, kicks off at 1:30 Pacific time. Of course, what's cooked into the Steelers being favored here on the road against the best team in the NFL, arguably the Ravens, is their must-win situation opposed to the Ravens, who have the luxury of basically taking this game off, so to speak, after wrapping up the number one seed, the first round bye, and home field throughout the playoffs. Interestingly enough, the betting public doesn't seem to care about this scenario with the Ravens as much as the line makers do anyway. The Ravens are getting nearly 70% of the money here, and in some places this line is moving up to Steelers minus 4. That happened, I think, as a reaction to the confirmation from Ravens head coach John Harbaugh that Lamar Jackson will sit and the QB duties will fall to Brett Hundley for the Ravens. He's no slouch, Brett Hundley. But certainly not a Lamar Jackson. And we'll have to see who the Ravens throw out there in this game on Saturday. It'd be no surprise to see some defensive players get some rest for Baltimore. And really, again, what amounts to a meaningless game for the Ravens. Baltimore, in my opinion, is focused on staying healthy and getting ready for their Super Bowl run. As much as they'd like to bounce the Steelers and beat them, got to remember, Baltimore is focused on that Super Bowl. And I don't know how serious they're going to take this game. This line opened at Ravens plus 3.5, like I mentioned, and now is up to 4 in some spots. And that was the first clue that the Ravens would likely not have their first string players going. And confirmation, of course, now that Lamar Jackson will not be playing in this game. The Steelers haven't been playing great defense lately, but their offense in terms of yards per play, that has been top 10 in the league. So offensively, they've turned things around. And I think that'll bode well for them in this spot here. Over their past three games, that's, you know, Pittsburgh playing much better offensively. Yards per play has shot up. So they've figured some things off. Call it the Mason Rudolph effect, I suppose. But the fact that the Steelers' offense is trending upward at a time when they will likely be facing Ravens backups for all or most of this game on Saturday has me leaning towards a cover for the Steelers here. Now, if you read, listen to VSiN, all the YouTube shows regarding sports betting or NFL betting, I don't think I've heard anyone say they're on the Steelers. Everyone's on the Ravens, at least the talking heads are. And some people are saying even the sharps are. I'm not. I'm leaning towards the Steelers here. The line is worth monitoring as kickoff approaches. But for now, there's 3.5 out there being Steelers minus 3.5. I don't like the hook, but it is what's out there. And that's where I'll be, even though the Ravens are getting 70% of the money and all the touts are on them. On Saturday, I'm on the Steelers minus 3.5. Next up, the Atlanta Falcons at the New Orleans Saints on Sunday at 10 a.m. Pacific. The current line is Saints minus 3, and that's juiced up to minus 120. If you're taking New Orleans minus the 3 at most sportsbooks, not all but most, the total sitting at 42.5. Over 70% of the money is coming in on the over in this game, and I'm not sure why. The Saints are 11-5 to the end of the season and aren't doing much offensively over these last few games. I mentioned how Pittsburgh has turned things around, but I haven't seen that in the underlying numbers for the Saints over the last several games. They're not doing much on the offensive side. Bottom half of the league in many offensive categories, actually. If the Falcons have anything going for them, it's their defense, who generally always puts in a good effort. And it's the offense for a lot of reasons. The play calling, the lack of good quarterback play from Desmond Ridder and now Taylor Heinicke, which pretty much stymies Atlanta's success when they have the ball. It's been really frustrating. I've been on Atlanta a couple times this season. Got a win out of them against the spread, but have had a couple of losses where you just see them be inept offensively, and I don't see how that's going to stop here on the road at New Orleans. I expect this game to be a tight contest and hard fought, as both of these squads have an outside chance of making the playoffs. So you expect them to both play hard, especially on defense. I mentioned the Saints a minute ago as a big under team this year. You can add the Falcons to that list as well. They are 10-6 to the under this season. So both teams trend to the under anyway. And in this scenario, I think it'll be a tight, hard-fought defensive game. I'll take under 42.5 with this contest between the Falcons and the Saints on Sunday. Okay, on to college hoops. Conference play has begun, and you'll start seeing upsets pop up here and there. You saw top-ranked Arizona getting thumped by Stanford a few days ago. Stanford's actually pretty good. They're undervalued, but not for long, I think. If you were able to get on Stanford early on, they've had good success lately, not only covering the spread, but outright winning as underdogs. But the sportsbook will catch up to that. But anyway, as football winds down over the next several weeks and college hoops, which is basically available daily, will become a bigger part of the betting menu, of course. One thing I look at, this is kind of a tip if you want to listen to it. The things that I look at, of course, as I mentioned on the podcast, I give my selections and give a few reasons why. There's a lot more that goes into it, a lot of other things on the list that I check off. When it comes to college basketball, there's a lot of data that I look at. One of the things, and it's obvious, I think a lot of you know about this, is the two-point percentage statistic that you can look up. I feel it's a good statistic to look at for the sheer consistency of it as opposed to, let's say, three-point percentage. I know some handicappers like looking at the three-point percentage for their overs, unders, and also if a team's successful with their threes, but I think the three-point percentage is much less reliable. Remember also, college hoops is a long-term proposition, and it's good to look at maybe your weekly record as opposed to getting too pumped up on a good night of handicapping or too down on yourself on a bad night, because in hoops, college hoops especially, that will definitely happen. You're going to have good nights and bad nights, but at the end of the week, let's say, obviously at the end of the season too, but at the end of the week, if you've squeaked out a profit, that's the name of the game. Been posting some things on Twitter this week. Little 2 or 3 day mini run of winners. As I record this on Thursday, it'll be a losing night on Twitter as two came in as a loss. One looks like a winner, but still, like I said, look at it on a weekly basis because there's just so much on the menu for you to look at. So looking at college hoops on Friday, and I'll also, as per the usual, look to target a team or two on Saturday. That's before knowing the spread, of course, but going to Friday night, the big game on the college hoops menu is a Big Ten matchup of Illinois visiting the number one team in the nation. Did I say that right? Illinois? Anyway, the Illini. They're going to face the Purdue Boilermakers. I was leaning hard to the Purdue side here. This line opened up at -9, and I like that number. But the line got away. Purdue opened at 9, like I said, -9. And before recording this podcast earlier today, I saw that the line quickly moved to Purdue -10.5. It may go higher. That's just too much for me to lay here, even though I think Purdue's a strong play. Purdue wins here, and I think pretty convincingly, but I can't lay 10.5. Maybe you can look at hooking Purdue up on a money line parlay, but even that is at -650. So little value there. I think Illinois takes a big dive. They lost their best player. He has a legal issue going on, and he was fantastic and probably could have created some problems for Purdue just the way he moved around the court. But without him, I think Illinois is compromised here, and I like Purdue in this game. But it won't be a podcast play because that line just got too high. But fear not, there's still a handful of games on the Friday hoops card. And the one that I'll be on, it's a mid-major, Quinnipiac hosting Rider, 4:30 p.m. Pacific. The line opened up at Quinny -5. I'll call Quinnipiac Quinny. If you hear me say Quinny, that's what I'm referring to. But the line moved to -3.5. So I'm going against the steam here a little bit, as I'll be on the favorite Quinnipiac, who opened up, like I said, -5, now down to -3.5. Quinnipiac's a solid 9-4, has a solid 9-4 record on the season. And a couple of things I like about them on Friday night is their propensity to hit their free throws, especially at home. And I think free throw shooting may make a difference here. Ryder is one of the highest fouling teams in the nation. They foul on 29%, almost a third of their defensive plays, which usually or can spell disaster versus opponents that are disciplined free throw shooting squads. Quinnipiac also is a high percentage defensive rebounding team, which neutralizes one, if not the only strength statistically on Ryder's side that's at a good level anyway. They're a good offensive rebounding team, Ryder is, but Quinnipiac's propensity to be a good defensive rebounding will neutralize that a little bit. I have Quinnipiac by 6, so the -5 was good. The -3.5 is even better. Monitor this line to see where it's at. I'll be on the home favorite Quinnipiac -3.5 in this Metro Atlantic matchup on Friday. Okay, staying with college hoops, a couple of teams to keep an eye on for a point spread cover opportunity on Saturday. We'll look at Alabama. My numbers have the Crimson Tide blowing out Vanderbilt on Saturday. It's just a matter of how much you have to lay. I'm hoping it's the low teens, but I anticipate Bama will be favored possibly by more than that. How much more, we shall see. That game's at 12:30 Pacific on the SEC Network. So again, like I mentioned prior, try to maybe focus on some TV games for you on Saturday. So keep an eye on Alabama where that line is. I'll tweet out that game. Again, if it's in the low teens, mid-teens, I'm going Alabama. If it gets higher than that, we'll see how much higher it goes. Vanderbilt's not a good team, and I think Alabama goes in there and takes care of business. Another team I'll be looking at closely on Saturday's College Hoops card is Iowa State, who visits Oklahoma on Saturday at 3 p.m. The Sooners, who are ranked number 11 in the nation, will be given all they can handle, I think, by a still underrated Iowa State team in this spot. Iowa State, not ranked. We'll see what the line is. I anticipate Oklahoma is going to be a small favorite here. My number is Iowa State by 2, so monitor the spread, as I think Iowa State will offer some value in this Big 12 matchup. I can see Oklahoma being favored here. So if Iowa State's an underdog, all the better. I like them a lot on Saturday. Thanks a lot for listening to this podcast, the first podcast of 2024. If you could please leave a 5-star rating and a review, no matter how short, it really helps tremendously. And I want to thank you again for downloading the podcast and allowing me to be part of your day. I want you all to have a great weekend. Enjoy the football and the hoops, and may all your bets be winning ones. Take care, everybody.